Welcome and make yourself comfortable. It's time for the Internet Advisor, a high-tech program for the common man. I'm Foster Brown, your co-host since 1998 with Gary Baker and our team of experienced computer techs. Let's get to this week's great show.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor, your place for answers to your computer questions since 1998, with your co-hosts Gary Baker and Foster Brown and their team of tech experts. The door is always open at InternetAdvisor.net, on Facebook, and through Twitter. But right now it's time to get you in touch with your helpful hosts on this week's edition of Internet Advisor.
Hello there, Foster Brown, the co-host of the program, and delighted to be with you for our program here at our flagship station in Detroit. Glad to have you with us. That means our second hour, by the way. Lots of room for your phone calls. But in the first hour, oh man, get ready. Put your seatbelts on. We've got toys galore in here, and they're all running Windows 8 or a version thereof. Dave Sawyer from Microsoft is with us, as well as Ed Riddell and Shane Hamlin in studio. It's going to be a wonderful show, so stay tuned. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Internet Advisor. Hi, I'm Foster Brown, and we have a wonderful program lined up here for you today. Delighted to have with me in studio part of the posse and someone who is a frequent visitor here, and delighted to have him in studio. First of all, Mr. Ed Riddell to my immediate left. How you doing, Eddie?
Oh, I'm doing great, and I love all these toys.
Oh, well, folks, we have, unashamedly, we can tell you, we have been playing with all sorts of toys here from Microsoft. We've been, Dave Sawyer, who was with us from the Microsoft Technical Center, and we'll introduce him in just a moment, has brought in just a whole grab bag full of them. It's kind of like Christmas early for us to get our hands on these things, but what's so neat is to get hands on something we've been hearing about so much.
Right. And I have someone so knowledgeable and to answer our questions, you know, all the questions we have.
Yep. And with us as well, Shane Hamlin in studio. Shane, it's good to have you back here.
I love coming back.
And you are now the proud owner of a new business we want to tell folks about, too.
Well, the business is called CompTech Services in Sterling Heights. Okay. And we are a certified Microsoft refurbisher.
Oh.
And we have sell both new and used, or mm-hmm. refurbished, I should say, mm-hmm. and quite a bit of deals. And, you know, we always wanted to do a business that obviously helped customers, but there's a lot of, you know, sharky kind of guys out there.
Oh,
and
Lord,
we're
yes.
one of those companies that prides ourselves on being very, very honest with our customers and taking care of all their needs.
Now,
excellent. Is this the first time that you've owned open up your own business doing this?
Well,
you've been doing it for other people.
It's not my business.
Okay.
I am the tech manager.
Gotcha.
And kind of run the store as best I can. And no, we were actually the same location I was at before.
Right.
We just moved in. So right there on Shaner in Sterling Heights.
And you're the technical service
manager.
Manager for it. Okay, good. Well, folks, so we'll tell you more about that later on, but I just wanted to drop that little thing and thank you very much for stepping in here saying that.
Yeah, I'm all out of wind running around playing with all these toys. Tons of them.
Cal is not here now, Cal Carson, because he is barefoot. No.
No, he's
barefoot.
Not. He's driving.
That's right. He's driving barefoot, maybe?
He's driving Miss Daisy.
That's right. Cal Carson, as you know, is the notorious Darth Vader. And I think he just snuck out because we're going to have all this Microsoft
and
stuff
just,
in here.
Yeah, he would just probably, like the Wicked Witch of the West, and pour water on her and just melt. Help me.
Cal is starring as, matter of fact, he's the chauffeur in Driving Miss Daisy. It is being put on right now. You just go to justgobarefoot.com, and I think I have that on the homepage. I have to go back and take a look at that.
And he's going to be playing for this weekend and the following, so a couple weekends.
I'll post it. I hadn't gotten it up here. I thought I put it up here, but I will put that up before the end of the show. Yeah, he's going to be out starring in Driving Miss Daisy, and it is taking place November 9th, 10th, 16th, 17th, and 18th. It's 2 weekends, and it's going to be a whole lot of fun, featuring Cal Carson, Dave Fadiwa, and Sandy Maroulas as Miss Daly. It's going to be a lot of fun. There's a picture on this. You got to see this, folks. There's a picture of him sitting there with me. Has he got that much gray hair, or did he have to gray it up for this?
He does have that much gray hair.
Yeah, I think he fit the part perfectly, right?
I think he did, too. Grasping the steering wheel and having a whole lot of fun. I bet he does a great job with that. So that's Cal is not going to be with us for the next 2 weekends because he's involved in that. All right, a lot of stuff is going on right now. I did see a mention, Cal, maybe you've seen this too, pardon me, Ed, because you're the one who's kind of giving us the warnings about the Microsoft updates coming, that there's a very critical one coming up on Patch Tuesday, which I'm going to guess is this coming Tuesday? I should ask. I'm sorry. Yeah,
you may be, you know,
Dave doesn't know.
I don't keep track of that anymore, and I don't remember hearing about that.
It's the second Tuesday of every month. So as long as you know which Tuesday is the second Tuesday, you're all set.
That, by the way, is Dave Sawyer. Who we got to bring him in. Dave, thank you so much for chiming in on that. Dave is the technical director at the Michigan Technology Center, Heartland Center, is it called?
It's the Microsoft Technology Center here in Detroit, right? And there are 11 here in the U.S. So,
all right. And we just, matter of fact, we just got this recently, didn't we?
Yeah. We opened up about 2 years ago.
That's right.
And they were finishing building out a couple of the centers. They had opened one in Philadelphia. They had opened one in Minneapolis, and ours about the same time.
Okay. Now, we should mention, by the way, if you folks, and we'll be talking up a lot about the Windows Surface RT, there are some critical flaws. They're holes. Well, I'm not calling them flaws as much as there are security holes.
Yeah.
And there is a whole bunch of things being patched, but among them also would be the Windows RT as well. So just a word for you about that coming up this week. And then the other thing, did you guys see this? I wonder what you think the significance of this is. That the first acknowledgement by President Obama of his having won the re-election was on Twitter at 8:13 p.m.
Nope.
What's the significance of that? That rather than being on a national television station or even on Fox or CNN or whatever, it's on Twitter. What is that?
I think he's just so fed up with what the media was doing for the last month that he's like, I'm going to release my own. Because what the media was doing and what Fox was doing and denial and you know, they really had nothing to talk about. So they just kept on rehashing the same thing.
So the control of the information, you think? What do you think, Shane? What's the significance of the fact that the president would essentially say, thank you, and his quote was, thank you very much for making it happen?
In my opinion, you know, he wants to feel like he's a man of the people.
Right, he's a hip guy.
The social network, and I figured that was kind of his way of saying that, making that statement, that social media, he's part of social media, he's young enough to recognize that, and that's kind of what my thoughts are.
Mm. Yeah, you know, I remember when Barack Obama came into the office, he was the first president to come in there with a BlackBerry.
That's right.
And they did not want to get rid of that.
And they have used Twitter, apparently, quite a bit in the campaign and social media as well.
As a matter of fact, we may have touched on this last week, but now the federal government's opening up,
the bidding?
The bidding to other carriers and other type of phone devices, not just BlackBerry, which is they've had the exclusive rights to that, but they're going to open up to iPhones and Microsoft phones.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to take a quick break. Be back with Dave. Thank you so much for joining us for, I think, a very special program, and kind of where this is one where Microsoft gets to talk for itself. Dave Sawyer is with us in studio. Dave's been with us on a number of occasions when we've been running out some great new devices. And up to this point, it's been kind of like, gee, look at what this stuff is doing, this particular hardware is doing with the Microsoft software. This time around, Dave, you've got a whole bunch of stuff in front of you that really is Microsoft hardware that is running your new software. So thank you very much for being here, first of all, Dave.
Well, it's great to be here. I love coming in and talking to you guys.
Dave is a technical director for the Michigan Technology Center for Microsoft, established just a couple years ago. We were talking about that. Now, Dave, let's start right off by talking about that one of the devices you brought in here and that we're hearing a lot of stuff about is the Windows Surface RT, which is about the size of a tablet, 10 inches, right, in terms of that range. But it's not quite a tablet, and it's not quite a desktop. So what is the Windows Surface RT?
Okay, so October 26th, we were all very excited because that was the first day that you could go out and get Windows 8.
Right.
But it was a little different than our other launches because this was the first time that Microsoft actually produced its own hardware device.
Right.
And that device was called the Surface. The only place you can get a Surface is actually from the Microsoft Store. We have both physical locations and an online location.
In Michigan, where would the physical locations be?
We don't have a physical location in Michigan. The closest one to us is Chicago or in Cincinnati. So
but
we don't,
you can go online.
But you can go online, absolutely. So we would have loved to have been able to go out to the store here in Michigan. Unfortunately, we don't have one here locally yet. But we were able to go ahead and track down the FedEx person who was delivering them and make sure that they got to us Friday morning. So we definitely were very excited about that. And it's a unique design. It was the first time we've designed our own piece of hardware. Yeah. And it basically has a magnesium It's a metal cover, good build quality.
Very.
It has on the back of it a kickstand. So basically, you don't have to buy a stand. It folds up into the back.
Right.
And what's neat about this is it also offers expansion. When I've been showing it off to people, what they've told me is, oh, look, it has a USB port. That's awesome. Oh, look, it has a micro SD card. I can expand the storage. Now, that's awesome.
Let's stop
too.
For a second, because a micro SD card essentially allows you to take a 32 or 64 gig flash drive, essentially running these things, and expand it to whatever ones you want. You can put your all of your files or whatever onto this little tiny card that can hold up to what? These SD cards can hold up to...
64 is usually 64, where the sweet spot is today. So you can get a 32 or a 64. The devices themselves come in 32 gigabytes of storage, solid state, or 64 gigabytes.
Yeah, and I've heard some niff-gnawing about the fact that the operating system takes up a lot of that room. But does that make any difference if you can put an SD card in there and store stuff on it?
That's true of any kind of device that you're going to get. You're never going to end up with the exact same amount of storage as you have when you buy the device, because there are files in there, part of the operating system, applications that come pre-installed. In the case of the Surface, what's neat is we do have Office 2013 on there, Home and Student Edition. So it has Excel, PowerPoint, Word, and OneNote in there.
Now, there's been a lot of talk about the fact that it can't run all sorts of applications. What are the applications that can run on this thing?
Well, you know, the neat thing is we got feedback from our customers that said, we would love to have a Windows-based tablet. We would love to be able to have really long battery life.
Right.
So what we did is we said, okay, we'll listen to that feedback, and we created a version of Windows 8 that runs on the ARM processor.
Okay.
And the neat trade-off there is that you get extremely long battery life, but it is not Intel compatible. So you cannot run your older Windows applications on anything that's running Windows RT.
When you say older Windows application, can you give me an example?
That would be Windows 7. That would be Windows, basically Windows XP.
Okay.
So you might have, let's say, an application for your sports watch.
Right.
And you're like, oh, this would be great to have this little tablet, but I want to load my sports watch application. Mm-hmm. No. So you can't do that.
But it looked like you had a ton of applications on there.
We do have a ton of applications, and they come directly from the store.
Okay.
So you have a desktop, you have Internet Explorer, you have all kinds of really cool games. You know, when you go into the store, anything that you're going to see there from Windows 8 is, you know, on normal Intel-based machine, you're probably going to see it there for the ARM as well.
For me, Evernote is a big note-taking thing. Would I find a version of Evernote on it?
I believe that you will. So I have to go to the store and look.
Sorry.
I did see it out there.
Okay, cool.
From a Microsoft perspective, we're really big OneNote users, so
I was going to say, and it's fair to say that OneNote really does a lot of the stuff that Evernote does. I'm hooked on Evernote. I'm a junkie there, and I'm just learning to use OneNote. Guys, I'm just quickly, Shane, you've had your hands on it. We've only had a few minutes of playing with a little bit. Eddie, what are your reactions to the device as you look at it?
Well, I'm just glad there's USB support, which is something that a lot of tablets are missing, especially the one that starts with an I, which is really nice because...
And you know, also it needs to be said that the Nexus, what is it called? Google's Nexus?
The Google Chromebook?
Not the Chromebook. No. What is the one that's about that size? The one that's a big Google Nexus 7? Am I right?
I don't know.
It's not very memorable, so obviously.
It's selling very well. But anyway, the point is that this has that connectivity. Eddie, how about you? You just had a few minutes of having your hands on it. What's your reaction?
You know, I was surprised at how light it was, and I like the choice in the keyboards that Microsoft is offering.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Davey, you could tell me the two different types of keyboard names, because I don't remember.
Right. There is a touch cover, and that one is very thin, and it basically acts as your screen protector. It magnetically attaches to the device.
Yes. Go ahead, give it the click.
So exactly. You put it together.
There you go.
And it clicks in there. It's strong enough to actually hold the device, which I demoed for you guys.
I kind of
held it up and shook it, right?
Yeah.
So it's nice. It basically provides that screen protector, but you already have the keyboard there. And it also has a mouse that you can use, and it has two soft buttons on there.
Oh, it has a mouse?
Yes. On the front there, you can go ahead and use the mouse. So a lot of people are familiar with using the mouse with Windows.
You mean the trackpad?
Yeah,
the touchpad.
I'm sorry, touchpad is there.
Yes.
So you basically have a touchpad that you can use and the buttons right there.
I have to say, from having used Mac devices, and I don't know if this is true, Eddie, from your experiences or Shane, I had no problem navigating around that screen with the touchpad.
Yeah.
I didn't even touch a screen. And that would be kind of a bonus for me to be able to do that, because this is touchscreen enabled, the Windows RT.
Yes, the Surface is a touchscreen device. It has 5 points of touch. You'll see all of the new Windows 8 devices generally are very multi-touch enabled. 5 to 10 points of touch is the average.
When you say points of touch, what do you mean?
So it means that instead, normally the older touch screens, you could do one finger or two fingers. Spread your picture apart,
right? Pinch and zoom.
Uh-huh. So now what we have is we have support for up to 5 fingers. Right? Ah. So you can do all kinds of neat gestures there.
Okay.
And a lot of these are even going up to 10. So multiple people can interact at the same time. Mm. You can do neat games and things like that where we could get on each side of it and we could all be touching the screen at the same time.
But then let's go back to the question I asked before. It's not quite a tablet because it's more than that. And yet it's not quite a desktop because you can't run all those things on it. So what is this? Somebody described it not as a PC, but as TC. I think
it's a really neat companion device, right? So the idea is for a lot of people, they have a device. They want it to boot up instantly. Yeah. They just want to hit the button and it's on, which this does. Right? They want browsing, which this does.
Okay.
Right. They would love to have some of their productivity apps like Office, PowerPoint,
Word,
Excel.
Very important word is productivity.
And I would like to say, remember how Gary went on a couple of vacations and he goes, I'm going to try taking my iPad with me to see if I can just do everything I need to do in the office with just my iPad. And he discovered very quickly that he could not. He could not edit documents and do PowerPoint presentations or manipulate spreadsheets. And now we have a device that you could actually truly take with you and do everything that you need to.
It looks like it in terms of the base. If you're used to Office, essentially, you can do everything you want on here. Mm-hmm. And while you don't have Outlook, you do have a mail app. You do have a calendar app on that, and you do have a contact app, or it's a people hub now is what it's called. Gene, you were going
to
say something.
Well, yeah, I mean, I get that a lot. People want to print from their tablets and their little devices, but they can't do it with everything. And this is really nice because with the USB support, you can do that. Mm. You can plug in, thumb drives with that USB support.
Yeah, you can wirelessly
really
do it.
Nice. Yes, and I would imagine you can even use a wireless mouse maybe sometime.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, can plug your, if you like a mouse, you can plug in the mouse that you're familiar with, and you're good to go.
And Bluetooth?
I'm just hoping this is like Bluetooth Oprah, and I find one under my seat, right? right, though?
Nah, I don't think so.
Not quite yet. Dave's still hanging tight to it because he's only gotten it recently. Dave Sawyer is our guest here from Microsoft. We're going to be back to talk about a lot more about Windows 8 itself as well. So please do stick around. Thanks so much for joining us here on the Internet Advisor. By the way, you will literally be able to join us with your calls at 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0957. I'm going to go back quickly to the home page and change the number I put on there. It's been so long since I've said that I didn't get the right number on. Any case, I've got the wrong one. You'd be calling the guest line. But in any case, we will have a chance in our second hour for you to give a call in and ask questions about your computer and get some solutions. Ed Riddell, Shane Hanlon in studio. Great, great computer people. Technicians been working for a long time helping people. Dave Sawyer is with us from Microsoft. We're talking about some of the new devices that have just come out kind of in a wave starting at the end of October, October 26th. Whole bunches of stuff. But in many ways, Dave, see if I'm right. See if you agree with me on this. One of the key common factors I see there is that there is a common paradigm, I'm going to call it, a common visual look or user interface across the devices. All sorts of different things are running underneath. But it's kind of like if you can learn that one language, that language of those interfaces, the live tiles, you'll be able to understand Windows Surface RT, the Windows Pro, Windows 8 on your current PC, and the
Mobile.
Phone, the Windows Phone as well. You'll understand it. After a month and a half of using the Windows Phone, I have no trouble with this thing. You know, they hear about learning curves. Well, big deal. Every one of them have. I'm still learning stuff about the Mac, and I've been using it for 3 years.
That's true.
You know, I think that most people are going to get used to Windows 8 very quickly. I always compare it to basically when you get a new car, and you know how to drive a car, you know that you want to wash the windows, and you just have to figure out do you pull the stock towards you or do you
exactly.
twist the stock, right? So I think that first time, for the first week or so, they may have some issues, but I think they're going to warm up to it very quickly.
Yeah, that's a great analogy.
Yeah, you mentioned like getting in a rental car. If anybody's ever rented a car, you land at the airport, you get in the rental car, it's raining. Where do I turn the wipers on? Which one of these things? You got three stalks there. Which one does that?
And you know you want to go somewhere. You want to be able to, I want to go to the internet, or I want to go to the settings and change how my mail is received.
Exactly.
And you know you want to do it. It's just how do I do it? And it's just going to take you a few extra moments.
Well, one of the nice things is as you boot up that computer for the first time.
It's so fast, too.
It is. A lot of them have solid state drives now, and they are almost instant starting.
They are, yeah.
But when you first get into it, we actually take you through a little tutorial that talks to you about if you have a touch screen, you can basically swipe from the right or swipe to the left.
I'm about to install this tonight at my wife's computer. Mm-hmm. If you hear loud noises coming from Royal Oak, it's me running from my life.
Now, what are you going to install?
I'm going to install Windows 8.
Windows 8.
Windows 8 Pro.
Okay.
We have a desktop with running Windows 7 Ultimate right now. I'm going to put Windows 8 Pro on it. I downloaded it. I haven't installed it yet. But I was looking forward to it. I said, Jenny, you're going to have to sit with me when we do this, first of all, because they got this little video that's going to give you, so it'll tell you basic moves.
Right. For every user, basically, it's going to tell you a little bit about it. If you don't have a touch screen, and you have a mouse, it'll tell you the mouse gestures that you use.
Okay.
Yeah. The one thing that is true, if people are familiar with Windows 7, we always had the window key right on the keyboard.
Right.
That window key takes you right into the start screen, right? And in Windows 7, it would bring up your start menu. And you can think of these things as almost the same thing, right?
And you know what?
List of programs you can get into.
And Dave told me something, and we were talking about this off air, is how the press, and a lot of the press early on, slammed the interface.
And
you have to realize a lot of the people that were doing that were techies. And
absolutely.
Dave showed me something. He goes, Ed, the one hotkey you need to know as a techie is Windows X. It'll give you all that techie stuff that you need. That'll get you the device manager, the system settings, the event viewer. It gives you anything that you want to do.
And Ed's skin begins to tingle.
Yeah, there's the
spidey senses begin to tingle.
And I have the run line. That's what I was looking for.
There you go.
How do I get to the run line?
Right. If you use run a lot, it is something you can pin right to the start menu, and you'll have the run right on there. So you can go to the command prompt. The other thing, though, is most of the time people use that run because they want to run a command. And so we've talked about it today. You could just type the command that you want to run, like calculator. You can just start typing calculator from the start screen, and it shows it to you right there. You just hit it with your mouse, and bam, you're into calculator.
That's the coolest thing, by the way, for both.
So they've integrated the search features, which you used to have to click on start search, and they've integrated it with
the desktop.
You know,
this is even better for me than on my Mac, where I have the Finder, which is in the upper right corner. I don't have to go anywhere. All I got to do is start typing on that surface, and then and just start typing on the keyboard. Boom, it comes up.
And it indexes not only your applications, but also your settings from Control Panel and your files.
And your shortcuts.
Yep.
And your favorites, too.
I've got to ask. This is a facetious question. I know that you, as a Microsoft employee, are not allowed to call it Metro Interface. What is the official title from Microsoft for this interface?
We like to call it the Modern User Interface.
The Modern User Interface.
Oh, my God.
So, you know what's ironic about this, guys? Mm-hmm. Everybody's still calling it Metro. Mm-hmm. I know that Microsoft can't do that, and I will insist that you do it, but everybody's still calling it the Metro Interface. Yep. It's stuck. Mm-hmm. It's just stuck. Okay, let's talk about the two keyboards that come with the Windows Surface RT, because they're kind of cool.
Yeah, I'm playing with them right now. And
which one are you playing with?
Well, I've got the larger one, the thicker profile one.
That would be the type cover, because what happens is sometimes people say, well, I am a very fast typist. I like that tactile feedback.
Yes,
I would like a real keyboard.
A little bounce to it.
Right.
It's called haptic feel.
Yeah, this is called the type cover. And it basically has an actual keyboard on there where you can feel the keys depress.
Yep, right.
The other one is called the touch cover, and it is basically the one that is super thin, and you're actually just touching the keys.
Shane, did that feel flimsy to you?
No, it feels great because it's just high enough off the surface of the table or whatever you're using to give you that feel of a keyboard.
Right.
Because some of those, I think I just don't know what to do with my hands, and I feel like I'm just touching, it's just strange on these real thin ones.
Right.
But this one is just thick enough where I can actually get a little bit of a wrist.
A little
rest
tactile feedback.
Yeah. And I actually like it. The smaller one isn't, I'm not a big flat keyboard person.
That is the, what is that one's called?
That's the touch cover.
The touch cover.
But it's very well made. I mean, it's solid.
That's
where
what,
I've, you know, played with my wife's before, and it's, her touchpad is not as solid as this one.
You know what's nice is that after you've used it for a couple days, people generally think that way. When they have a chance to use the touch cover for a couple days, they really end up liking it. And the touch cover you can get in different colors.
I saw that.
So I have a red one here. You can get a magenta.
Yeah.
You can get a white. You can get the black one, which is what I have, or a cyan. So.
Right.
Like a blue one.
You know, I'm so glad that Microsoft has got into the hardware business, because in the past people would say, well, what does Microsoft make besides software? I say, well, they make a mouse, you know, and a keyboard.
That was true.
That's
true. That was true.
And it,
You know what's surprising for most people is that they don't realize we make Xbox, right?
Yes.
You know?
Oh, that's true.
Oh,
so
yeah.
you talk to some of the young kids and you go, do you know Microsoft makes Xbox? And some will go, oh, I didn't know that. And I'm like,
let's talk about there are other manufacturers out there, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
The Microsoft partners, the OEMs, original equipment manufacturers, who are making versions using Windows 8. Are there any using Windows RT that are developing?
There will be some coming out that use Windows RT. So that'll be based on ARM. There's also some really exciting designs coming out that will use the next generation Atom, which was codenamed Clover Trail. And this is a really good compromise between long battery life plus compatibility with older applications.
Oh, that's key. That's key. Because the one right now, the Windows Surface RT, is built to run a medley of basic productivity and consumer kind of software. Although there are other applications you can get from the store, and Ed, you were looking into some of those yourself. Mm-hmm. Now, with this Cloverleaf, the new Intel processor.
Yep. The next generation
the
of
next
Atom,
generation
which
up,
people are familiar with.
It will allow you then to go back to some of those old ones you were using before and add that to it.
Absolutely. I actually was at AT&T store today. They actually had a really amazing Samsung there.
Oh.
It was based on Clover Trail.
Oh.
Really thin.
Yeah, yeah.
Really nice big screen. And, of course, what was nice about it is it had the connectivity built in.
Now, Clover Trail, I just want to clarify, will be compatible with running standard applications that you're used to, right?
That's correct.
Now,
yes.
Atom processors, for people that don't know, were the netbook failures, not failures so much, is a niche market that never really took off because of the explosion of solid-state hard drives and memory cost and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the next generation, so they'll be faster. But the key point is, of course, compatibility.
Now, there's another step that is coming soon, I should say, within 90 days you talked about before.
Right. We have another version of Surface coming out called Surface Pro. Surface Pro will be based on Intel. It'll have an i5 chip on it. It will not only have a touch screen, but it also will have pen input so you can write your notes right into the device. It'll be a little thicker than the Surface here.
But basically that 10-inch size?
Yes.
Whoa.
So it'll be a little thicker because it needs a little bit more.
Right.
But it's going to be that no trade-off device where you say, okay, I want to have something that's a full-powered Intel Core i5 multi-core design.
Gosh, there's so much to talk about.
And I'm glad that they're going to introduce the pen again, because there are just some times where you just want to jot a few notes or draw something very easily. And, with the pen gestures.
Right. Mm-hmm. You mentioned before that the start screen is a different experience now. Just plain different experience. What are some of the key things that will help people understand how to, sink their teeth into that learning curve?
Well, it's actually really easy. If you think about the fact that in Windows 7 or previous versions of Windows, you had a start menu, you can think of the start screen as being that place where your programs are.
Okay.
You can get to all your applications from there, but we take what was gadgets before, basically that were on your desktop, and we now incorporate live tiles instead.
Okay.
Most people didn't see those gadgets.
We'll talk a little bit more about it, because I really want to help folks get past this phobia that I think has been in the press and I think is garbage, that this is somehow this incredible learning curve that you can't handle. Back again with Dave Sawyer from Microsoft in just a moment. And once again, we are delighted to be here with Dave Sawyer from Microsoft. We're talking about the Windows Surface RT and a whole bunch of other stuff that's there. We have no way in the world we can touch on everything. I'd like to have a whole program on Windows Phone, and maybe we can come back and do that something
later.
We can
definitely do 2 hours of this, right?
Man, 2 hours of this stuff. Easy, easy, easy. Where can people see the Windows Surfaces? They can, we don't have a store here in the Michigan, Ohio, Indiana area, but there is one in Chicago. Where can people actually see these things?
Well, there's one in Cincinnati and one in Chicago.
But
don't
AT&T stores also have some of these?
No, they don't have a Surface.
Oh.
They don't have the Surface, which is our product.
Yeah.
But they do have a lot of really neat devices. Today I was in the Southfield AT&T store, and they had a really awesome Samsung tablet. The next other place you can go to see a lot of the offerings from our partners is Best Buy. Best Buy has a great selection of Windows 8 devices that you can go in, check it out. A lot of the new devices come with touchscreens, which is great.
Yeah.
You don't have to buy just a tablet.
Right.
A lot of what you consider a normal netbook or ultrabook is coming with a touchscreen as well now.
How well are these people trained on helping people get in touch with the Windows products there? I mean, how well are they? The reason I ask the question is, 6 months ago when I went into an AT&T store and asked about a Windows phone, the guy says, no, you don't want a Windows phone. You want an iPhone. He said, if you were my family member, I would tell you, forget Windows phone. And I thought, good grief, does Microsoft know this is going on? AT&T employees were cutting the throats on Windows phones.
Well, the neat thing about the AT&T store is, Friday, the launch day, basically they all had Windows 8 shirts on. They knew about the new Nokia product. The Windows phones have the same interface, new style user interface, and the Xbox has that same interface now as well. So you're going to be able to go from the phone.
A lot of websites
to the Xbox and right into the Windows 8 side of things. And those live tiles are great. They keep you updated. The neat thing is now when you go to that start menu, you're going to be able to see at a glance what the weather is, the stocks, breaking news, other stuff that was maybe on your desktop before, but you never really got to see because your applications were in front of it.
I think that once people get a taste for the live tiles, they're going to buy this. I really do, despite what the nasty tech press has been doing to this. I don't know why.
I'm in the tech industry, in the field, and... They love hating on Microsoft. They always have, and I have always been a Microsoft. I'm the first person to make fun of an Apple user. But I love Microsoft. I always have liked their product, and I don't get it. Look,
I switched to Apple. Okay, I'm on a Mac. I've got the iPhone, but I've now been using a Windows Phone, the Windows Phone 7, for like a month and a half now. But I like this interface. I really think it's built for people who are not technically savvy.
First time I've touched it. Now, granted, I'm a little bit tech suave, and I know my thing. But it's not hard getting around. It really isn't.
What do you think? Do you think your relatives could get around it, Ed?
My relatives? I think they could.
I need marriage counseling after trying to put this in?
No, I think the upgrade is going to go very smooth for you. As a matter of fact, we were talking about the types of things that you would need to be aware of when you do an upgrade.
Yes.
The upgrade process is very smooth. You'll put in all of the information up front that you need to do.
Basically, the product key.
Yeah, the product key. It'll ask you a couple questions, and then it goes away. It does its thing, right? You come back, and it'll ask you some other setup questions, like what color scheme do you want, and that as you finish up.
Well, I think it took me 15 minutes to download the files. I haven't started the install process, so how long does the install process take?
If you're migrating your files, it depends on how many files you have. So if it's a fresh install, it is, I don't know, it depends on the speed of your computer, but 20 minutes or something like that.
If it's a fresh install,
it's very, very fast.
So it could be like up to an hour if it's taking your files and folding everything in, your settings and everything else, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So the idea is budget about an hour for it if you're going to move your stuff, if you're going to do an upgrade.
Okay.
Like any major change, always do a nice backup first. You can type Windows backup, and you can make a system image backup.
I just did that last night.
Get back to where you started.
And this is one of the cheapest upgrades, basically.
Yes.
What is the cost? It's $39.99, is it?
That's right. Well, if you bought a new PC after June 2nd, it's only $14.99 for you to get the new version.
Ooh, even better.
So if you have Windows on your machine now, right, if you're basically running Windows XP, Windows Vista, or Windows 7, you can download the upgrade for Windows Pro for $39.99.
Right.
So if you can make yourself a DVD, you can save some money. And then if you go into the store and actually buy it, I believe it's $69.99 if you buy the packaged product.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So,
Now let me ask you this: the Windows Surface right now, that's not available. If I've got a tablet that's like a Samsung tablet right now, can we put Windows Surface on there right now?
You're basically gonna put Windows 8 Pro on that tablet.
Yeah, okay.
So, the only time that the Surface is our product.
That's right.
Right.
Okay.
So it's like the brand name for our product, but there is
and it's unique to that device.
It is unique.
If you want that experience,
yes,
you got to get it there.
The hardware.
Right. The hardware.
The hardware. Yes.
Yeah, I get it.
So, but our partners have a lot of awesome hardware as well. So we talked a little bit about the next generation of Atom, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of those partners have very thin tablets that are based on that processor.
Oh,
they
Lord,
have
yes.
really good battery life. And a lot of them, what they've done is they've come up with a keyboard that clicks in and it has a battery in the keyboard. So they're getting 8 hours plus of battery life on the tablet itself. And then you click it in and you get 16 hours of battery life by having a battery in the keyboard. So there's some really neat designs. We've been doing our homework, but our partners have been doing their homework as well. They have some great things.
I've got to ask you the question that I think has been a lot of people's minds. Why did Microsoft step into the hardware market?
Well, I think we wanted to have a reference design that showed customers what the experience could be like. We didn't want to leave it up to any one partner to come up with something. We knew our partners were going to come up with some amazing stuff, but we did want to have something that we felt could show off in the best light our operating system.
Okay, okay. Right. But as you said, there's a whole bunch of Microsoft partners out there which are taking a lot of the Windows 8, for instance, right now, the Windows 8 Pro. You'll find that, folks, on laptops. Beautiful, brand new. Mm-hmm. Did you see that ad for the yoga on TV? Or the yoga is the, which one is that? Ace? Oh, darn, I forget which one of them is. But it's this fat, there's this really thin, fast, snazzy-looking computer. So there's a whole bunch of ones out there that are running the Windows platform as well. Let's talk briefly, just quickly, about Windows Phone 8. I wanted to talk more about, let's talk about this very quickly. You just started using the Nokia 920, which is a beautiful device.
That's correct. So I was in line at the 18T store on Friday morning, because that's when they first started selling these. And so I did my upgrade. I had an older Windows phone, and I had
you were running a Samsung, though.
I was running a Samsung Focus.
Focus, right.
Yep. And the new phone itself is great. One of the first things you see is you can resize the tiles. So things that you don't need to have as a large tile, you can
yes.
make small.
Oh, that is, by the way, from having used the Windows Phone 7, I've been looking forward to that. Will I be able to get any of the improvements in the Windows Phone 8 on my Windows Phone 7?
There will be an update to Windows Phone that will give you some of the same features.
Like some of the look.
So it'll give you the ability to resize right. the tiles. We haven't announced when that'll be out. We just announced right. that it is coming, right. and we're going to have that upgrade. So for people that have already bought a Windows Phone, they'll be able to go ahead and get some of the same experience.
And a lot of the experience will look the same. Although I got to tell you, I heard the prices on these things are incredible with two-year contracts. What did that thing cost?
So this is a great deal. So this is a device with 32 gigabytes of memory in it. It was $99 at the AT&T
Astounding.
Store, and then they threw in a wireless charger. So you don't even need to plug the phone in. You just set
right.
it on the
you
charger,
set that down.
And it actually charges the phone without having to plug anything
in. I have phone envy already. My Lord. Dave, thank you so much for coming in and sharing this with us. There's been so much to talk about here. And, folks, during the news break, we're going to play some serious things with these toys. But if you want to find out more about that, again, you can go to Microsoft to see some of the things that they have there, especially the Windows Surface RT. Incredible little device, but there's so much more to look at as well. Don't listen to the tech writers. Dive in, have some fun, go to Best Buy or someplace like that and play with it. Hey, coming up next, after the news break at the top of the hour, you get to call us with your questions at 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0WJR. And Ed Riddell, Shane Hamlin, and myself will be back to answer your questions after these words.
You've made it to the end of the first hour, and there's lots more to come. If you ever want to find out more about this podcast, check out our show notes on our homepage at internetadvisor.net. Now get a refill, settle back, and enjoy hour two of the Internet Advisor for this week.
Thank you so much for joining us here during our live program. And a chance for you to call in with your questions. That's right. We have this delightful opportunity to talk with you again and let you ask questions. Ed Rudella Studio is in studio with us, and Shane Hamlin. And we also have Dave Sawyer, who's from Microsoft. He'll stick around. If you have a question about Windows 8 or the Windows Surface RT, this would be a great time to ask it. 800-859-0957, 800-859-0WJR. Thank you for joining us for this second hour of the Internet Advisor, and we're delighted that this week we're able to take live calls from our folks here at our flagship station in Detroit. So that number is 800-859-0WJR, 800-859-0957. Lines are open right now, and please do get in touch with us. Now, we have Ed Rudell in studio. Eddie's good to have you here, as always.
I love it. This is my job.
And matter of fact, you've got a version of Windows 8 running on your machine right now,
yes.
your laptop. Shane is with us. Shane Hamlin, good to have
Hello.
You back, as always.
Always.
By the way, and I've just put this on our homepage, Shane Hamlin has a new company called Comptech Services. It's out of Sterling Heights. We have a link to that now on our homepage if you'd like to find out more about that. Great service.
You know, I'm looking forward to it because I'm going to throw some Windows 8 on some of our machines in store so people can play with them.
Excellent.
I'm going to make that commitment this week.
All right. And also with us in studio is Dave Sawyer. And Dave has been gracious. He's going to stick around for a little while to answer. If you have a question, we talked in the first hour about Windows 8. If you'd like to ask about the operating system, if you have a question about the devices that are out there, like the Windows Surface RT, the sweet little tablet-like, but so much more kind of device, or Windows Phone, or Windows 8 Pro, the operating system, then please do give us a call at 800-859-0957.
You know, one of the things that is nice about the Windows 8, and we didn't get a chance to talk about it last hour, was the login credentials, the security, and you now have...
Oh, that is so cool.
Yeah, now... What's the terminology you use?
So it's called picture password.
Yes.
So what happens is with a lot of these tablets, you think about it, you want to have a nice secure password on there in case you lose the device.
Yeah, because I'm always typing in 1212. Everyone knows that one.
Right, yeah. So you want to have something long, alphanumeric, but you don't want to have to actually type it in each time. So yes. We have what's called picture password. You can take a picture. You can assign three gestures to it.
What are the pictures you have in your own... library of pictures.
Correct. You could find anything that you like.
So any picture you want.
Yeah, I like watches, so I have a watch on mine, right? But the one I showed you guys and let you try was basically a picture of our technology center. And you basically just did three little gestures, and it logs you in. Only takes a second.
Yeah, like a circle, a dot, and a swipe, and on certain aspects on the picture that you pick out, something that you're focusing on.
Yep, and that would be equivalent to a 12-digit alphanumeric password.
Wow.
So.
It's three steps, three steps. Different motions you have to take. Right? Okay, hey, let's dive into our phones right now and get folks started because we don't often have this opportunity. So let's dive in. 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0WJR. Phone lines are open. Get going. Bill from Lincoln Park, welcome to the Internet Advisor. How can we help you?
Thank you. One, thank God for our courageous veterans and active military.
Amen to that, my friend. Yep. Thank you very much for saying that. Yes.
On my computer, I was having a problem clicking out on the whatever is noted in blue with my mouse, hit control and click. And so I checked in Windows Defender, and it came back with a code. So I checked in on that with Microsoft, and I said, "Oh, yeah, those are only good for 90 days, and then you got to pay $90 or something." I can't remember what it was. But,
Sounds like you've been scammed, though, Bill, because Windows Defender is free, right?
Well, Windows Defender is built into the product.
Built in.
And then most times people will use Security Essentials, which is a great, freely downloadable security application that basically helps you with malware and viruses, right? It's best to have it before you get infected.
Yeah.
That's the ideal, is to actually be running it all the time. A lot of times people run virus scanners and then they let them expire and then they get infected and then they have to go clean
it up. But
in
this case, Bill, I don't think you hadn't subscribed to anything, had you?
No. What happened is I had McAfee, I guess they call it, on
McAfee,
there.
Okay, right.
And I dumped that. And I already had this. This came, Windows Defender and Security Essentials came with...
Okay, but what you're getting now is an alert that says that this has expired, which is not true.
No, it didn't say it. It just gave me a code.
Yes, and the code. Okay.
And so I called up Microsoft, and the lady on the phone said, "Yeah, that's only that." And I checked on the thing, and mine expired on September the 11th.
Now, what is it that expired exactly, Bill?
That I can use that program.
So it may be that your Windows updates are disabled, and it, maybe your virus definitions are expired.
But even so, there's no charge for
none.
Security Essentials. Windows Defender is built in, so there's no upgrade to that or anything like that.
I called up the Microsoft people.
It doesn't expire, and there's no place to pay for it anyway.
Bill,
so
we're concerned.
It's not a product we sell.
Yeah, what we're concerned about here is that whatever that phone number was, this is called spoofing.
Well, I'm saying, where did you get the phone number?
Yeah.
It went right into the Microsoft
website?
Help thing, and plotted through that for about an hour and a half trying to find something, and... I can't remember where I came up with the phone number,
Let's start from the beginning, Bill. First of all, I don't know what has expired, but the information you've got is just simply not true, which is why we're thinking, as we think backwards, you may have gotten bitten with something that was spoofing you. pretending, in other words, to be Microsoft and pretending to be an alert of some kind, because Microsoft flat out doesn't charge for Microsoft Security Essentials or for Windows Defender. So if somebody's telling you you got to pay $90 because something has run out, ain't true. So somebody has gotten in there somehow.
I would love to know the number that you called, so I can do a little bit of research and find out where that came from.
But the easiest thing is you can go update your Security Essentials at Microsoft.com/security. You can download it. You can install it. Yep. And that may help you with this problem.
Bill, we're going to put you on hold because we want to get some of this information so we can research this too, okay?
Okay.
Thank you very much. All right, folks, back in just a minute with more of your calls at 800-859-0957. 800-859-0WJR. Welcome back once again to the Internet Advisor. By the way, Internet Advisor, home for all sorts of stuff. And don't forget to look at our show notes because you'll see lots of information in there. You'll see a picture of the Microsoft Surface RT, the thing we've been talking about today. But the best thing to do is go to Microsoft itself and see all the information they have there, both on the devices and on Windows Pro 8 Pro, which is the operating system. I'm going to be installing it this week. I'm going to try to do a blow-by-blow of the experience. The blow-by-blow mean by wife on me. But we're going to take her computer, and my contention is we're going to be able to do this with a minimum of hauling and bruises on my tender body. But I'm going to be doing that on our Facebook page. I'll be chronicling that, and you can follow me as I do that. And again, our phone number right now, 800-859-0957. And guys, I just talked to Bill off the phone there, and it does sound like he was spoofed.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you look at our call monitor, we might have someone on line 5 that says they have a solution.
Oh, okay, good. Well, we'll get to that in just a moment. But the bottom line, and Dave, I think we're right on this, is if somebody claims to be from Microsoft and tells you that for $90 you can download a security package, it's hooey.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we just talked about the whole Windows 8 upgrade is $39.95 if you're downloading it. So, and, of course, Security Essentials is free.
Free.
And, you know, basically what we've done with Windows 8 is we've built both Security Essentials and Defender together now, and it's built into the product.
It's built into the product.
So you don't have to worry about going and downloading it and putting it in.
That's one of the other beauties. The beauties about Windows 8 is it's built, this is baked in. Okay, let's go to John from Jackson is with us. And, John, do you have some thoughts on what our friend Bill was experiencing?
Yes, I do. I would suggest that he download Secunia PSI,
okay,
which is a free download, and it will check his computer for any updates or newer drivers for anything he has installed.
Well, the initial, you're right, John, and I'm glad you've given us this is for other folks listening as well, because there's a whole lot of things that sounds like the Secunia PSI does, is it checks your machine off for updates and things like that. One thing to say to you, and I think as you could say, is that Windows, if you've got automatic updates set, and you ought to have it as automatic updates.
I don't. I turn it off.
Why do you do that, John? What do you do?
It really slows my machine down. I check for updates once a week.
All right, hang in a second. I want to see if that's the case. Shane, you were shaking your head no.
No, there's something else slowing your machine down, not the updates. I mean, really, I mean, you'll have a download. It may be slow. You say it may be slowing. I don't know what your speed is internet-wise, but...
Or what's operating system.
Yeah.
If you're running Windows XP...
Yeah.
What are you running, computer, John?
I'm running XP Pro.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So... Yeah, because the computers are slower, and the Windows XP automatic updates does run every time, and it does slow your computer down for the first 3 or 4 minutes after you power up your computer because it's checking for updates.
Now, John, you're calling from Jackson. What's your connection speed out there? Is it good?
It is now. The router that my internet provider provided me with just tanked.
Okay, well, that may have been part of your problem before, was that the modem that they provided you was part of the problem as well. So I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to pass on the information you had about the Secunia PSI. It sounds like something that just kind of a scan of your system to see what needs to be updated in drivers. And that's great. Mm-hmm. And it's free. Sounds like it's secure as well. So thank you very much for that, John. I appreciate your pitching in and helping with that information, too.
Well, you know, I actually worked on a computer last week where they had this software installed, and we had to remove it because it slowed down the computer so much.
Okay. Well, then that's something else to keep in mind. See, I think if you're on...
Well, it slowed down the startup time, and I'm like, why is this computer slowing down so slow at startup? And I uninstalled the Secunia PSI, okay, which is on the tray, and it's the computer startup time increased.
Well, it's because it's scanning for all
that's
the drivers
exactly.
and updates. And, you know, I get this every week. People come in and their machines are slow, and it's just, they've just loaded it up with so much bloatware.
Yes.
You know, my friend said download this, my friend said download that.
Yes,
and
thank
it just
you.
Fills up their startup, and I've got to go through and clean it all out. If people would just keep their Windows up to date, run Security Essentials and their Defender all up to date, they wouldn't have these problems.
Yeah. A lot of the problems wouldn't be. And you have things like malware bites that can come in at the end
if you get bit. Yeah, there's things that we have to use to fix that. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. All right, let's go back. We've got Harold with us from Madison Heights. Hi, Harold. How you doing?
Good evening, gentlemen.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor, and what can we do for you?
Well, I actually have two questions. One is about a new computer that we had a note in the AARP publication.
AARP, okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's called WOW Computer.
WOW Computer?
Yep.
That's a computer for seniors, right?
Right.
Huh. What is unique about it?
It is almost like a laptop, except all you have is a screen, and it's all screen touch, but you do get a keyboard and mouse with it.
So it's basically like an all-in-one
system.
I you know, the
okay.
larger all-in-one, yeah, the 24-inch screen.
Yeah, HP has a number of those, yeah.
HP and Lenovo, and a lot of them do have that.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it has a custom interface.
You can actually carry this anywhere you want to go with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's, I think an 18-inch screen is the starting, and then they have a 20-inch.
Hmm. What's the advantage of it for you, do you think?
For me, nothing, because my wife wants to get it, though.
Well, you know, I think
it's expensive.
Is it?
It's $1,000.
Oh, yeah.
That's a price tag. And you know, the thing is, and I would imagine, you know, with the $1,000 price tag, then there's going to be probably some support plans that they're going to need. Yeah.
There is no support plans. That's all comes with it.
Well, then, yeah, I would say take that $1,000 and take a look at some of the new machines that are coming out. Dave Sawyer, you were talking about some of the new ones that are in the machines and stores right down for Microsoft.
Yeah, we have some great all-in-ones. You know, Foster, one of the things you talked about is the idea of Windows 8 with that start menu, the ability to go ahead and customize that to have very few options if you need that.
Oh, yeah.
One of the other nice things is you can always use the Windows plus and minus key because a lot of times people will say, hey, I'd like to see things a little bit bigger. Mm-hmm. Even me, I'm not that old yet, but my eyes are starting to go, and sometimes I'd like to view things a little bit. So in Windows 8, you can double tap on some of the tablets. It'll zoom it in for you right in Internet Explorer, or you can use the Windows Plus key, and that basically brings up the screen magnifier, and you can go ahead and step up or down.
Mm.
And for magnification in general, if people actually are presenting, like let's say they're in business, how many times have you seen people say in a PowerPoint, oh, I put this slide in here, but it's an eye chart, right? We actually, that's a good one to remember for that. We also have a free utility that you can download called Zoom It. It's part of our SysInternals, and it really is easy for people who do presenting for a living. You can just hit Control-1, it zooms the screen in, and Control-1 again zooms it out.
So what, Harold, what we're trying to say is this, that there are lots of choices out there right now that can actually help you and me and other seniors to see the screen easily. But I can tell you the one thing that I like about the Windows 8 is those tiles, that they are so simple that you can limit the number of choices that people have to deal with.
And it looks like this WOW computer basically is just a machine with a custom application
custom
running in the foreground that lets you do video chatting, email, Skype, you know, whatever.
And that's what Windows 8 has.
Yeah, exactly.
It looks, I mean, Windows 8 looks much better, but for $1,000... Get yourself a Windows 8 machine with the tiles enabled. It's got the zoom. You can make it. You can just open it up with your fingers if you want to zoom and look at it. And the nice thing is, just so you know, Harold, I wanted to let you know, the machine that you're looking at, there is a very basic support that comes with that machine. And I'll probably guarantee it's basic. But for $9.95 a month, you get their Supreme, their VIP support.
Yeehaw.
So I guarantee you, once you buy that machine and you call with questions, which a lot of people do, they're going to say, well, you probably should get our VIP support. So you always got to take look at the large picture with everything.
Very, very carefully. Harold, we're running out of time here. We got a whole bunch of people.
Yes,
just a quick one, and we probably have to put you on hold and take it when we come back. Go ahead.
Okay. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. What was the question, quickly?
On my Windows 7 professional desktop, if I stop doing things with it for 2 or 3 seconds, the screen reader pops up, then it locks up.
Screen reader pops up?
Or the screensaver, I'm
Yeah,
saying.
He's
screensaver.
Yeah, he's got to change some of his settings within his personalized settings. His screensaver's kicking on.
Yeah, he can go to start, search, and type in screensaver, and then you could change the screensaver timeout.
Yep.
Yeah, and Harold, what we're going to do is this. We're going to put you on hold, and we'll talk with you during the break about that, but there are some settings that will help with that. We have a very unique resource with us in our studios today, and we're taking your calls at 800-859-0957. Delighted to be able to do that. Lots of people to talk to. Just quickly, Dave Sawyer from Microsoft is with us. During the first hour, we talked about some of the new products coming out, running the new Windows operating system. It's called Windows 8. One of the things, though, we just got, Shane was just talking with somebody about a lot of the bad information that's out there. And this was at a major retail store, electronics store, not Best Buy.
Mm-hmm.
They went in to ask about Windows 8, and what were they told at that point?
Oh, there's, you know, there's 18 steps or 8 steps to shut it off. It's very complicated. We had to spend, you know, 3 days training and learning, and we're tech suave, and you'll never figure it. You know, there's a lot of doom and gloom out there with 8, and this is a fairly large computer store here in the Detroit area.
Big
not
one.
Best Buy.
Nope,
but
not Best Buy.
A big one. You know, and it's rumored that their sales guys all have to 4-year degrees to sell, and which is not true because I employed a lot of those guys when I was a business manager over at CompUSA before they closed. So, no, you know, there's just so much false. What I would recommend is don't listen to anybody. Go into a store, sit down, go into CompTech, sit down, try out a Windows 8 machine and see how you
Best
like
Buy,
it.
Yeah.
That's the
get,
only way
there
you're going to know.
Plenty of places you can get your hand on it.
Now, don't take my word for it.
No, exactly.
Try it.
Exactly. Right. And Dave, there's other things about this is that Microsoft itself is making it really easy to learn this.
Right. If you go to Microsoft.com/Windows, you'll basically go to the Windows 8 page, and there's a how-to section there.
Absolutely.
And we have a number of great how-tos there. Even before you, if you just want to do it right from your couch, you can do it. It allows you to get started. It talks about social and the People Hub. It talks about make it yours, how do you customize it, web and networking. You can go through these little tutorials that take you through and explain all the new stuff so that you have an idea for how it's going to work.
And let me tell you, at InternetAdvisor.net, I just posted a news item up there that I really love. Windows Secret is a wonderful, Eddie, you get it too, I think, is that great newsletter that comes out that talks about different kind of technical things behind the scenes with Windows. This one was a great one that was put out. It's called Your First Hour with Windows 8. And what they do in it is they do a tremendous job of just the basics. And I was reading it myself in order to get ready for putting out Windows 8. And it's just a great, it was written by Woody Leonard, who was one of their great writers. And it's called The Win 8 Boot Guide, Your First Hour with the New OS. It goes through some basic kind of things. Excellent resource. It's on our homepage at InternetAdvisor.net and the news item. Let's get back to the calls because we've got so many people out there. We'll make sure we touch base with them. Scott from Flint, you got a question about Windows 8?
Yes, I do.
Yes, sir. What can we do for you?
When I upgraded Windows 7 to Windows 8, it was Windows 8 Pro, or is what I upgraded to.
Mm-hmm.
The desktop programs, basically the programs that I had existing on Windows 7 that use the internet, none of those programs work properly. I mean, they come up, but the internet portion of it, where it might go out and check for an update or might need to go out and pull data from the internet, none of those programs work.
Can you give us an example of one?
Even Mozilla, the Mozilla browser.
Won't connect to the internet?
Firefox wouldn't connect. It wouldn't connect to the internet.
This sounds like a general setting. Dave?
Yeah, I mean, I can't say exactly what's wrong with this one, but the ideal thing is check Internet Explorer. Does Internet Explorer connect, or can you not get a connection at all?
the Internet Explorer, from the desktop, it wouldn't connect. But from the app, the Metro app, it would connect.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like it was almost like a maybe a protection setting on for the desktop.
No, I mean the desktop and the basically
the new interface.
Internet Explorer used the same set of settings. So if you've defined a proxy server or that, they should both work the same.
All right. Well, for whatever reason, now I end up having to get everything to work when I went and refreshed the PC Windows 8. Which wiped out basically all the programs.
When you say you refreshed it, what do you mean, Scott?
Well, in Windows 8 there, you can go and refresh Windows 8, which will basically give you a clean Windows 8. You know, it's acting as if it's a clean setting.
It's restore.
New restore that restores it to like it would be out of the box.
Okay.
A
clean install.
It wipes out all your programs in the process.
Okay.
Well, so when I went and reinstalled all those programs, mm-hmm. They all work. They all work perfect.
Oh, okay. So what you're basically saying is that the upgrade just did not seem to work as smoothly as you were hoping it would. But when you did okay, I got where you're coming from.
Gotcha.
Well, you know, that's disappointing. Well, what type of system did you have? Was it a laptop or a desktop?
No, it was a desktop.
Okay.
It was Windows 7 Pro.
And what was the machine you were running it on?
It was one I put together. It was with one of those Asus motherboards.
Oh, the Asus mount. Yeah.
Okay, so it was a kit that you put together yourself.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people still do.
I bought all the parts. Yeah,
that's fine.
But that should be no reason why it shouldn't have worked. I'm not sure.
It could have been just a fluky thing. You know, I mean, with a custom built system, there's all these new drivers. You know, there's drivers, there's updated drivers, and maybe it just took Windows a second to grab the right drivers. And get it going. That's
the bottom line is that when you did the refresh, you did a clean install, you were able to get all those programs to work for you.
Yeah.
Right?
That's correct. And so I guess the only thing that I would suggest because you were talking about maybe upgrading your system at home.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, is make sure you have all the product key numbers.
I understand.
The key numbers, so if you do have to install it, all those programs, you have those, and you don't have to go searching.
That's wise. Period.
Well,
that's
or you could run the Windows 7. You have the ability to do a complete backup of your system, an image, so that
that's
if it does fail, then you can you can attempt it again, and at least you'll have all your. You can go back to Windows 7.
Yeah, Dave mentioned this before, and that is a matter of fact what I've done. I did that image backup because I thought if I lose something on this, my wife will scalp me. Dave, just come quick to us. And Scott, thank you for your call.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, my thought on that was that there was obviously a setting that wasn't right? So he did the upgrade. Something wasn't working right. He did the refresh, which would basically be a clean install. Obviously, he didn't have any settings at that point because he said, hey, I needed to reinstall my applications. At that point, whatever setting had gotten messed up now was not messed up, and everything worked fine.
In Windows 8, when you go to settings, are there like a default setting for, you know, for instance, what was
it was probably something to do with it was just a hokey registry setting. Something got garbled. He's probably been running Windows 7 for 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. Right, easily, mm-hmm. and something could have garbled it. He could have got a virus, and the virus removed it. You know, the antivirus software removed it, but it messed up a setting. Mm-hmm. It was still limping along. You know, I could speculate all day.
Be. And the bottom line was that it got balled up for him. You might want to go to the message boards and see if it's that. But I haven't heard that kind of complaint before, so maybe unique to this. And the good news is, it worked for Scott when he put them all together.
Yeah,
all right, Tim from Grosse Pointe, how can we help you here on the Internet Advisor?
OfficeJet Pro 8600 printer with a Dell computer, and when we had the printer and the computer to the store where we bought it and had them install the printer software and everything, it worked just fine there at the store, but when we get it home, we can't get it to print from the internet. We can only get it to print from the desktop.
In other words, if you plug it in, it will work?
We can't. It's all plugged in and everything, and when we go to the internet to print an email out.
Oh, yeah. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, so the e-print features of it. So have you gone to the HP's website again and re-registered that printer again and made sure because you have to register the printer. Oh. No, not the drivers. You have to register that printer, and it has a default printer name or an email address associated with that printer.
Yeah, I've talked to HP, and they said everything is working fine with the printer. It's not the printer. It must be the Internet Explorer.
Well, no. Are you able to, as an example, download the 8600? You have the ability of downloading apps to it, as an example. So if you wanted to, you could print a crossword puzzle off on your HP 8600. You know, you want to print the New York Times crossword that day on your printer. So have you tried downloading an app to the printer? I want to make sure that the printer has network capability.
And because we can print from our desktop, if we go into like Word or something like that.
That's true.
That with no problem.
Yeah, but is that connected USB wise?
Yeah, well,
that's USB.
But it's a USB connection.
But what I want to do is you want to set up the printer and set up the wireless settings on the printer. Because you set the wireless settings for when you were at the store. Now you have to set the wireless settings for your at home.
Right.
So
they use the USB cable at the store.
Well, see, that's the problem.
That's the problem.
That's the problem. Because let me just explain to you kind of quickly. The USB is like plugging it directly into your computer, and the computer then will read the drivers. What you want to do, and I'm sure that there is a manual there to help you do that, is you want to set up the wireless connection in your home, which will connect through your router.
If he uses this installation CD that came up with it, that came with the printer, and runs the installation, then he should be able to get the ability of setting it up USB or wireless.
Yeah.
And you want to set up the wireless or network features on that.
Now, Tim, what we're going to do is put you on hold, and we'll talk with you during the break as soon as we can talk you with those particular aspects. We got a whole bunch of people here. We'll go back to talk as many as we can before we close out here today on the Internet Advisor. Thank you so much for having joined us for the Internet Advisor today. Thank you, by the way, to Andy Nichols behind the screen, doing a great job as a phone screener today. And Rich Lazinski, who's our engineer, thank you so much for spinning dials in the background. Dave Sawyer, thank you for being with us and answering questions. He's from Microsoft. We've had all sorts of new toys we've had in here. And thanks for sticking around and answering questions as well.
It's been great.
And Shane Hamlin, thank you very much for coming in today.
You're welcome.
Delighted to have you with us.
I'm excited.
Matter of fact, may call you in next week because Cal's going to be off driving Miss Daisy next week as well. But we're going to be talking about all sorts of things next week. In any case, Shane, you got a new business. It's called?
Well, I'm not the owner.
No, I'm the
tech manager. Yes,
you're involved with the new business.
really involved with it. Yes, Comp Tech Services in Sterling Heights, office Shaner there.
And I put a hot link to that on the homepage.
You can find us on the Internet Advisors page. But I'm looking forward to putting that Windows 8 on one of those machines.
Yeah.
I might put it on one of the iMacs just for the heck of it.
Yeah, you can dual boot them. You can't, or you go into VMware.
Yeah.
All right, and Eddie Riddell is wrapping up a call right now with one of our folks on the line. So let's go to our next caller, George, because George has a question about Vista. George, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Hello.
Hi, how you doing, sir?
Yeah, pretty good. Listen, the deal is this. I got a SATA drive, small drive, it's the original equipment, and I have a SATA that's a 500 gig drive.
Right.
And that's like my secondary drive. Now, what I want to do is I want to swap the drives out because I'm running out of disk space. I've gone through this ordeal of having to drop programs and, you know, do the disk cleanup almost daily trying to keep the original drive running. So I want to transfer the operating system to the secondary drive and make that the primary drive. So is that a tough deal?
Dave, you want to answer?
There's a couple things. One is, obviously, if you didn't want to do that, you could use the disk cleanup, right, which is basically go to the Explorer, right-click, click disk cleanup. It'll help you to take a lot off of that old drive. There's also an option there where you can go ahead and clean up system files. That will clean up all your old system restore points and shrink things down for you, give you some more space. But as far as swapping drives, if you go into Windows Backup, you can create a system image.
Ah.
And so you'd have an external drive, and basically you create a system image of that existing drive that you have there.
Mm-hmm.
You'll then go ahead and swap in that larger drive.
Right.
Make sure that at the end of that system image, it's going to ask you, do you want to create a system recovery disk, basically to boot up off of?
Mm-hmm.
And if you do not have your original media, make sure you do that.
Okay.
You can boot up off of a Windows Vista DVD or Windows 7 DVD to do that.
How about a Western Digital My Backup, like a 500 gig external drive? Would that work?
As long as you have the software that allows you to make a complete system image. The nice thing about this is because you're going to remove your existing C drive, the idea is not to do anything to that first. So you set it aside, you put that new drive in, you can then try and restore the system image without doing anything bad to your existing drive.
So did you hear what he said, George, is essentially you'll take that existing small, crowded little image drive that you got there.
Right.
You use the backup system.
With the exception of a system image. I've gone through all those. I use Norton 360.
Okay.
And it's a daily maintenance program where I had to go through and do all those cleanups that he talked about.
I work
on registry cleanups, and I do this all the internet file deletes and so on and so forth.
All right, George, but did you hear him talk about creating a drive image, or it's an ISO file, right?
System image backup.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
And you do that to the backup utility, Dave?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. So you do that, you would then save it onto something else.
An external drive of some kind,
okay? Then you would put that 500 gig drive in, you'd swap that out, and then you would put the other drive and use that then to put that image onto that.
So you're doing a backup and then a restore onto his larger hard drive. That's all you're doing.
Okay.
But you have to do a full system image, right? So that basically everything is there. Now, what's going to happen is that at the end of that restore, you're going to go ahead and you're going to have an exact copy of your original C drive. So let's say it was 60 gigabytes, right? You're going to have that new drive in. You're going to get through the restore. You're going to go in there and you're going to see 60 gigabytes because that was the size of your original partition. It's a system image. Then you have to go into the disk manager, right? And you'll see space that is not allocated yet, and you can expand your partition to take up the rest of that drive.
And that's using Drive Manager or Disk Management.
Disk Manager, yes.
Okay, did you understand that step, George?
You bet. Thanks for the tips there.
Good, yeah. And by the way, it's for other folks as well. That's a great tip to use.
Yeah, the one thing is that's how you would swap a drive out, and the other one is, of course, using the disk cleanup, which is you right-click on your C drive, go to Properties. In there, it will go through and show you all of the things that you could safely delete. There's a tab there called Clean Up System Files, which helps you to remove old restore points.
And that would be in Vista as well as the newer systems. Good. Yeah. Okay. Let's go. Hey, another George. This George is in Toledo, Ohio. George, how can we help you?
Thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure.
I had a situation that happened to me about 2 months ago. I have been with Microsoft MSN for about 8 years, never had a problem getting on my computer, and on a Sunday night I went to get online, and all of a sudden there was an outfit called Omnitech that took over my computer, had my emails held hostage, and until I purchased something called malware for $325.
No, no.
Mind you, I have been unemployed for 10 months, and a lot of my emails that were on there were job related because I've been looking for a job. And this outfit's called Omnitech.
Yeah, you know what this is called too? It's called ransomware. And I understand that this is one of the new curses of the internet.
Boy,
guys, let's see if we can. We don't have much time, but so George, right now your situation is that your computer is being held for ransom by this malware.
Right, and the thing is, he should call and get his password reset right away in his email system.
Yep, that's one aspect of it. But the other one is, of course, running your something like a Security Essentials, because whatever it is that came up and is locking him out is probably sitting there on his computer as well.
So, George, let me get this. You did not pay any of this money yet, have you?
I had to. They would not allow me to get into my computer to get my email.
And you didn't. What did you use to pay that?
American Express.
Okay. Well, that's the good news. American Express will get you your money back. You do need to contact them immediately and tell them, hey, you know, I've been spoofed online. I've been hijacked. I need the, you know, that was a fraudulent charge. And you need to take care of that right away first.
Yep. Right now, when you hang up with us.
Yes.
Okay. Do you understand what we're saying to you, George?
You have been
defrauded.
And George, don't feel bad.
Please.
I get this every day of every week. People walk into my store and they come. This is happening to them. You know, seek out a professional. Doesn't have to be me. It could be anybody. Have them clean your machine for you.
Yeah.
You could, you know, run security essentials and things, but I think it's gotten into your registry a little bit, and it's might need a professional to take a look at
it. Do you have somebody in your neighborhood down there that you trust that you could take it to a computer shop?
Yes, good. I do.
And for anybody else that runs into this situation, when you find these buggers holding you hostage, it's time to unplug the machine and take it to a company like that that can simply script this stuff out. They will be able to get it back for you.
And save your data.
But before you do that, make sure that you go ahead and run Security Essentials so you don't get yourself into a problem other antivirus program.
That's a very good point, George.
Well,
okay.
We have Kaspersky and... You know, and I don't even know what this malware is.
Okay. Well, yeah, I understand that, George. Somebody snuck by. First of all, as soon as you hang up, you go to American Express, okay?
Okay.
All right, George. Thank you. I wish we could do more, but folks, if you find yourself in that situation, what Dave has said here, Dave Sawyer, thank you again for being with us, is something like Microsoft Security Essentials is free and does a wonderful job of protecting Windows systems. Again, Shane and Ed, thank you so much, and Dave for being with us. Folks, thank you for being here for the Internet Advisor. And please remember that we'll be putting a podcast of this up by Sunday night so you can listen to some of the things that we talked about again. Tell your friends about it, and look for us also on Facebook. We have a great page there as well. One more time, thank you so much for being here for the Internet Advisor, and we will see you again next week. That's a wrap for this week. Hope you enjoyed our show, and we'll tell your friends about us as well. Visit our homepage at internetadvisor.net for complete show notes and other great resources like our forums, where you can post a question 24/7 and get expert advice. You'll also find Ed Rudell's excellent collection of free programs, virus removal software, and so much more under the Toolkit button. You can also keep up with breaking news and conversation with other listeners through our Facebook page. Safe surfing, and we'll see you again here soon for the next Internet Advisor podcast.